give me a glimmer of hope again. Save me from all my wandering. If I've been looking in all the wrong places, would you turn me back around again?
Welcome to Hopecasts, where our true stories brighten your day by providing insight and encouragement. I invite you to listen as my husband, Dr. Ken Brown, shares one of his amazing personal experiences that will inspire and stir your soul. Even in the challenges of life's darkest moments, you can always find a glimmer of hope through the love of God. So settle in, open your heart, and let's journey together through the power of storytelling.
Noble Light. Sometimes God puts special, life-changing people in our lives, and we are forever altered by the interaction. When I was a police officer studying theology at Tyndale Theological Seminary in Toronto, I met such an amazing person. Dr. Stan Skarsten was a gifted Christian counselor, marriage and family therapist, who inspired me to give up the gun and badge and pick up the Kleenex box and Bible, which ultimately is far more powerful. We became close friends, and after my father died of leukemia, at the same time his best friend plunged through the ice on his snowmobile. And for years, we shared our hearts. And then I remembered that night at dinner when he offered to supervise me in a counseling internship. What an honor! Over the next 8 years, we quadrupled his counseling agency and had many adventures in God, helping the hurting together. And when he was suddenly diagnosed with stomach cancer, then died on the very same exact day that my father died, at exactly my father's age, it was completely devastating to me. Stan and I were authoring a book together called Noble Guilt, and we had plans to visit his homeland of Norway and expand our Christian counseling ministry to reach the nation. But in the writing of this creative analogy about Stan, I realized that the torch has just been passed and the noble call continues. I hope that you will enjoy this and that you will hear my heart in this story, Noble Light. As only one born to the sea, he leaped nimbly from the bobbing skiff to the stiffness of that stony isle. There he briefly stood and beckoned to me where I was fishing and my blue whaler in the lee of his land. He waited for me to dock my craft and join him before he unlocked the heavy oak wood door with the intricately wrought iron key that always adorned his neck. We began our ascent into his castle of light that rose up in a possibly straight 225 feet in a cylindrical column that strained to touch the clouds. The whitewashed lighthouse dominated the black boulders of that tiny coast from which it sprouted. How the sheer mass of that tower floated upon that little bit of an island without sinking it, some 2 miles from the safety of the shore. Well, that always amazed me. As the keeper effortlessly climbed, I trudged behind, each step stealing my breath and strength. Dizzy from both the exertion and the height, far below, the sea tirelessly marshaled its raging troops of waves to endlessly sacrifice themselves by smashing into the castle buttress of rock and concrete. Sometimes, after a wild winter storm, I used to run to the pier to see if the ocean's claws had finally claimed its victory over this impertinent intruder. But every day, the profile of its pointing finger punctuated the sky for all of us to take our bearings. And for every night, the guardian, without fail, transformed that finger into a talon of light that scraped the horizon to warn those with eyes of the danger in the dark below their hulls and to cheer hearts with the glad tidings of harbor's haven. In heavy mist, when the sea was severed from the shore and the lighthouse was the loneliest, lost in the tides of impenetrable gray, the keeper spoke through the deep resonant voice of the booming foghorn. The castle itself anthropomorphized into some antediluvian behemoth through its roar, which reached through the edges of sight to touch struggling sailors with its message of direction and danger. Such was the life and lair of the Keeper of the Light. And now, finally, I was invited into his sanctuary, which was consisted of a crude bunk, a table with one chair, and an extensive library that surrounded the room on all sides. The guardian was a private but friendly man who visited our sea-bound fishing village only for food for the mind and for the body. He was one of the rare people who at once both liked people but was apparently content without them. Weekly, as we fishers were leaving the anchorage, the keeper would be tying up his boat to the dock, and later he would stroll in a wide gate that was more reminiscent of a surging deck than the market square to lay up his stores of groceries and books for the coming week. You see, his oddness was not only in his solitary lifestyle of service to those brave enough to venture out upon the liquid salt, nor was it in his rough-hewn appearance or nautical dress of that same tattered navy wool coat and peaked hat from his service as captain in the Norwegian Navy before his migration to our Canadian waters after the Great War. No, his strangeness was intangible. It was otherworldly. It was like a person who had suffered immeasurably, or like one seized by a great cause and passion. He was like someone who was wed to the sea and its mission of light. Often I delayed my leaving in an attempt to engage him in conversation. And over the years, however, I discovered that that keeper had no ability for small talk, but would quickly warm to any conversation of personal significance. Even though he carried so much in reserve, I would have dared to call him wise friend, and secretly, hero. I would have said that I knew the man, but did not truly understand him, until that very day I fastened my boat to his jetty. His warm blue eyes crinkled into a smile as he characteristically began with his compass and asked me about my life's course and heading. As I told him about my dreams of adventure and significance, travel and purpose, he listened and he watched me closely. It was like he was tracking the plot of a vessel with his weathered orbs that saw beyond the rim. But soon my candle of self-significance sputtered out, drowned by my self-absorption. The keeper, with much feeling, began to tell me stories of winds and storms and waves and ships and wrecks and daring rescues, of lives saved and stolen, and of the lighthouse. And I was there, hearing the howl of the wind in the rigging, feeling the sting of sailing lashes, then seeing the flashes that beckoned salvation. Port ho! And I was there when out of the darkness came the sudden shudder of the keel tasting coral, the slam of a following sea broaching the stern, the horrifying sound of the sticks being ripped from the vessel, the cry of Mayday, 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 while the ship pitched and rolled at obscene angles, fear coupled with the certainty of impending death, with the loss of all loved hands. Visions haunted of watery tombs with seaside funerals on cold, rainy days. Tearful widows added fathoms to unknown graves of their dearly departed to match the depth of their own grief. But oh, the nightmare dissolves in the ecstasy of helping hands to a dry deck. Noble light, it was in the way that the keeper recited these mariner's yarns, energized with the untold bereavements and the achievements of his own life, that captured me. The tragedy of wasted lives and ships gripped my heart, and I understood the reason for the lighthouse that I had only known before. Here in this watery world was a deadly battlefield, as crucial to those who rode upon the waves to bring the bounty of both sea and commerce to and from our hammock, and to those who waited in port for the safe return of kin and harvest. A battle as important as any in the history of humanity. And the war was joined each time a vessel defied the shackles of shore and charted a course that sliced across the face of the ocean. Stout wood and metal, woven by inventiveness and fueled by human courage, battle these unpredictable fierceness of the water. Weather's rages continually threaten to throw living ships to the insatiably hungry teeth of reefs, to impale frail hulls in the rocks and the sandbars for a slower death by digestion, and swallowed alive into the abyss washed down by avalanches of aqua. And the keeper, well, he animated the soul-saving lighthouse by exposing these foes and helped the sailor survive by providing navigation to sanctuary. It is no wonder then that the waves and the wind and the ocean daily did their very best to best the castle's fortification. For you see, the keeper was the sea's arch enemy. He rescued untold numbers of ships and with their passengers and crew from the briny clutches of the deep and the disaster through his legacy of the light. And I was strangely moved. Even before the decision, I felt the commitment to the keeper's noble call. It filled my heart. I will. The guardian twinkled that he was already aware of my determination and welcomed me into his family. Time he spent with me, and I had so much to learn in the ways of the light, attending to giant mirrors, bulbs, fairylescent lenses, gears, radios, and horns, tide schedules, channels, shorelines, navigation, currents, and weather patterns. All were valuable information. But commitment to care for the needs of other sailors without regard to personal cost or consequence, that was what was essential. Anyone could flip on a light switch. But the crusade kept the keeper from the insanity of becoming an automated janitor. It was the cause that created a guardian. Nobility triumphs over the loneliness and the rigor of the keeper's life, and nobility sustains him in the press of the continual conflict. And so by invitation, I moved into that tower to help my friend man the light. Hours we shared, too few in training and talking. Sometimes when he was not looking, I noticed a faraway look in the keeper's eyes, as if he were reliving some event long before, and the keeper was reluctant to discuss these memories. Yet when I saw a scar on his leg or chest and pressed, he relented and shared stories of his own personal battles, victories and losses at sea. And over the next months, the guardian became a mentor and comrade as my apprenticeship continued. But during one particular treacherous storm late that winter, and the thick opaqueness that obliterated even the friendly rays, a small cargo ship fouled on the rock point across the sound, and the master radioed in distress. As was his unheralded way, the keeper threw on his navy blue, and aided by gravity began his practiced fall around bend after bend of staircases, round and round with one hand on the railing and the occasional thump of his massive legs on a stem to slow his descent. Like an eagle, he swooped down to snatch his prey, and by the time I descended to his half-submerged dock, he was in the boat, pulling the oars against the freezing cliffs of foaming anger that had already awashed his gunwales. The guardian flashed me a grin and waved an oar as a giant wave carried him to a night's glory. I kept the light on all the next day and prayed till no more tears or words flowed. The storm suddenly dropped, as though the monstrous low had been fed with the blood of the best. Of the faltered ship, well, my friend, there was no sign, and no pump could have stopped the leaks that were in my heart. And when I rose from my stocks, it was getting dark again. I hurried to ignite the mirrored beams and saw the keeper's key hanging from the switch. He always knew what I suddenly understood. And as I closed the breaker, by illumination, the blackness was beaten. Now as the keeper, I placed the treasure the guardian had entrusted to me around my neck to warm my heart, and I tended that noble light. I want to dedicate this story to my very dear friend and mentor, the captain, Dr. Stan Scarston, who was illuminated with the light of Christ, and also to all those who have dedicated themselves to the service of humanity.
Thank you for tuning into HopeCast for inspiring stories that will touch your heart. If today's story encouraged you, then please subscribe to our channel and visit us at hopecast.org to learn more. You can also watch the video version of this story and many more from Dr. Brown on our Hopecasts, YouTube, or listen on our Spotify, Apple, or Amazon Music podcasts. Until next time, keep holding on to hope, and please share these stories with someone who really needs encouragement. May God bless you.
I've been searching and I've been seeking. It seems like you're nowhere to be found. And I'd do anything just to see you. If I close my eyes, will I see you now? 'Cause I know faith holds in what can be seen. But my hope feels like a distant dream. Give me a glimmer of hope again. Save me from all my wandering. If I've been looking in all the wrong places, would you turn me back around?